Happy Saturday. It's June 28th, 2025, and you are listening to Morning Meeting. I'm Ashley Baker in London.
And I'm Michael Haney in New York City.
And we are two of your airmail editors who are here to give you a break. Well, first, in the news, the big news out of New York is the story of Zohra Mamdani. The state assemblyman from Queens has emerged as the clear winner of the Democratic primary for the mayor of New York City. The 33-year-old Democratic socialist has really energized young people, and many are wondering if this type of campaign and candidate might just be the future of the Democratic Party. We shall see. But enough politics for the moment. Let's get to the new issue of airmail, Michael.
Yeah, you know, Robert Evans was one of the Hollywood's great characters, as detailed in the great documentary The Kid Stays in the Picture, produced by Graydon Carter. And if you've seen it, and we highly recommend you watch it, you know Evans had his problems with cocaine and other drugs. And this week, our writer James Sakura tells us how Evans was behind the making of one of the most star-studded and least effective and surely bizarre anti-drug specials of all time. Then, you wouldn't be alone if you admit it. You might be looking to live abroad these days. Well, my co-host here, Ashley Baker, will tell us why her adopted hometown of London has suddenly become extremely attractive and extremely affordable for those looking for a home outside of the U.S. And finally, Linda Wells, our beauty and wellness editor, joins us to take a look at the new issue of Airmail Look and tell us what we all need to know to look healthy and glowing this summer. So, Ashley, where would you like to begin?
Well, you know what, Michael? Let's start with Linda Wells, okay? This is a moment where we all need a bit of self-care, beauty, and wellness. I know I'm speaking for you when I say this. Linda's the editor at Airmail Look and the longtime editor of Allure magazine, of which she was the founding editor. Welcome, Linda.
Why, thank you so much, Ashley and Michael.
You have plenty of ways to entertain us in the new issue of Airmail Look.
We do. We don't want you to go to the beach. We want you to read Airmail Look.
So what is one of your favorite stories?
Well, I do love a story that I reported, not to make it all about me, but I found out about this insane world of Pilates, where the workouts cost up to $500 a class, and they are accessed only by referral. And some of them are very small. You really kind of can't get in unless you know somebody. And even then, it's no guarantee because they don't want randos coming to their classes and taking videos of themselves and posting them on TikTok. So this is a whole trend that came out of LA and from the world of the Hailey Biebers and Kaia Gerbers and Kendall Jenners and Bella Hadids, as pretty much every trend does. And it's this notion of these classes that are very luxurious, but basically they're just Pilates and they are all over New York City and getting more sort of heightened and glamorous by the minute.
I mean, as if we needed any more proof that wellness is the new socializing. Here you go.
Right. And that they're almost like a Birkin bag. You can't get it. You can't. No amount of money can get you in. And it's sort of bragging rights, too, that you're in this in crowd. It also kind of reflects that private club scene in New York, where everywhere you go, there's a private club opening. And it's just a further stratifying of the different groups in New York. And the rich seem to get richer and more exclusive.
You have also tackled one of the trends that is taking over TikTok, and that is the salmon sperm facial. I can't even believe I'm saying those words together. What is that all about?
I know. It's really kind of, it's so revolting, but somehow facial trends tend to really start in the most revolting possible way. There's no end to it. This is something that's everywhere. It actually is the DNA extracted from salmon sperm, so that's a little bit comforting to know that you're not exactly putting on the actual thing. And dermatologists are doing it. Equinox Hotel Spa is doing it. Med spas are doing it. And it's this, first they microneedle the skin, and then they apply this purified DNA extracted from salmon sperm, and it increases collagen and elastin in the skin, and that in turn helps fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. It sounds impossible and ridiculous. And in fact, dermatologists are really excited about it. It started in Korea, as many skincare trends do, and came over to the U.S. And people think it might actually be the future. And in fact, one doctor told us that there are injections for this. They exist in Asia and Europe, but they might soon be approved in the U.S. by the FDA. So injecting your under eye hollows or other parts of your face with this to bring up the collagen and make your lines look less liney.
Well, speaking of the latest beauty treatments out of Asia, you traveled to Hong Kong for a travel story in the issue and discovered some serenity in an unexpected place.
Well, I really do love a long flight. To me, the saddest words in the English language are prepare for landing, because I never get enough done. I just always feel like it's so delightful. So after, I don't know, a 16-hour flight, I got to Hong Kong and stayed at a hotel called the Upper House. And it is the most serene place you could ever imagine. Hong Kong is very bustly and busy, but this place has figured out a way to make it completely like a wellness destination that you would never expect. They have a longevity center with red light therapy and hyperbaric chamber and cold plunges and saunas and infrared saunas. And they have sound baths. You can take this, you can go and lie down and someone very dramatically bangs a gong and different sound bowls. It was really, really relaxing. I loved it.
Linda, there's also a great new discovery of a new beauty line that all of us at Airmail Look can't get enough of. It's from Peter Phillips, who's the makeup genius at Dior. Tell us a little bit about it.
Peter Phillips is this incredibly creative makeup artist, and he's the Dior secret weapon. And he has a line called Backstage that was really, it started out as the things that he would rely on backstage at the fashion show. But now Backstage is this much bigger world where it isn't just the fashion show, it's the celebrity getting ready in the hotel room, or the what happens before an awards show, or what even happens before their ambassadors walk down the Tuileries Gardens to the tent to go to the show. So all that informs this line of makeup. And what he discovered is that people really don't want professional, complicated makeup. They want things that are really easy to apply and really look fresh and easy on the skin. And even though there's this highly informed consumer, the people of Gen Alpha, they learn how to contour before they learn to ride a bike. And but what's going on now is that everybody's embracing all these glowy treatments, these sticks and these gels and balms that you put on your skin and put on your lips and put on your eyes, and they add a kind of shine. And people used to be afraid of shine and think that it meant oily. And now it's really something that everyone is embracing because it's very youth-giving and everybody can use a little bit more glow.
Okay. So Linda, also, you know, there's a really intriguing report about MDMA therapy and how it can be used in one's sex life.
Correct. I mean, we know about MDMA-assisted therapy in PTSD and treatment-resistant depression, and it's gotten a lot of attention. But now there's MDMA therapy for couples. And of course, MDMA is illegal. So, I mean, a lot of it happens on Signal, and you meet with your therapist and they come to your house and we have one couple who wrote about their own experience. They're a very strong couple, happy, happy, but their sex life had hit a kind of a dry spell, so to speak. And so they called in this therapist and they had this MDMA, and it really kind of sparked something new for them.
Well, Linda, it's a great issue. You can get it at airmail.news/look. Thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Michael, I just feel better already.
Yeah, you know, it can make some people feel better.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Yeah, a lot of cocaine.
Bingo! All right, well, James Sikora, who's a former longtime development executive for the Robert Evans Company at Paramount Pictures, is here to tell us all about that time that Bob Evans decided to make an anti-drug special that ended up being heard around the world. Welcome, James.
Thank you.
I mean, James, we know Bob Evans for many things, you know, running Paramount Pictures, Permatan, but I never took him to be an anti-drug crusader. How did he get into that line of work?
Right. Well, that I always thought was one of the strangest stories and certainly entries into his filmography. And it came off the heels of one of his other bizarre productions, which was Popeye. And that was, I like to think, you know, of course, with Peter Biskin's book, Easy Riders, Raging Bulls, they use that as sort of the bookend for the new Hollywood era. I would argue Popeye might even be the one that ended it all, you know, and the fact that he had Robert Altman direct, it was a pretty offbeat take on a comic book character. But not only was he doing that for Paramount, it was a co-production with Disney. And that was when he got in hot water and he was busted for cocaine trafficking, 1980. And this was the very, very creative sentence handed down to him in order to to get off, basically. So I'd seen glimpses of the special in the documentary, The Kid Stays in the Picture, and it was like a soft focus fever dream. I'd never seen anything like it. I'd always wanted to know more about the special, but I assumed it was one of these things kind of lost to history. And then lo and behold, I'd been working for Evans probably 5-6 years at that point at Paramount, and we got a call out of the blue about a guy who said he had obtained a master tape, 3/4-inch tape, of this special, and that it was labeled as being from Bob Evans' personal collection and was master copy, do not lose, written on it. And the story that he had is he'd been to a swap meet and some guy had been hawking what he claimed was the contents of an unpaid storage space of Evans's. So immediately that story kind of tracked for me. And it especially gave credence when he mentioned that there had even been a stack of yarmulkes from a Passover dinner that Evans had famously held for Roman Polanski. But we got the tape back, and what I saw in this was even wilder than I could have imagined.
So what did you see? Where was it shot? Who was in it?
So Get High on Yourself, as it ended up being called, was an NBC special that somehow ballooned into a week of programming under Brandon Tartikoff. So the interesting thing about it is it's almost like the proto version of what we saw in We Are the World, Live Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas and all that. And it predated those by several years, and it also predated the DARE program. So this was just sort of the early days of Reagan's presidency, and he was inheriting the war on drugs. And I guess this was a different approach, capturing the hearts and minds of suburban America.
And James, he didn't clearly do this because he thought, this is a great idea creatively. I mean, maybe was he nudged towards this, or how did he come involved with this?
Well, okay, so the sentence handed down to him, and I must say, first of all, in his book, The Kid Stays in the Picture, it's contradicted from one page to the next. He says he was handed down a 60-second anti-drug PSA that he had to create within a year. But then the next page, he said it was 30 seconds. But from all reports, it was 60 seconds he had to turn in. That was it. And it ended up ballooning into a week of programming. But how he sort of got into putting this together in this incarnation was Kathy Lee Crosby, who I guess was a TV presenter at the time with the show That's Incredible, which was basically a precursor to stuff like America's Funniest Home Videos and Unsolved Mysteries, one of the first sort of true found footage where a general public is the star. She came to him because she had been before a House committee on drug abuse trying to promote the Scientology program Narconon. So she had been a hardcore Scientologist and was trying to find sort of a Trojan horse, if you will, to get this into the general public. And even though it wasn't explicitly Narconon this, it had a lot of the same standards and tenets, et cetera. So it was kind of using celebrity and Hollywood gloss to get in with this idea of yourself, being the ultimate high, which is, very odd, but.
I mean, I can't imagine this actually worked, James. I mean, was it effective? Do we know anything about, people buying into it?
Well, from all the stats that I can see, I don't think there was much of a bump made with the DARE program, any of these sort of initiatives in the 80s, but it certainly got Evans off. He beat the rap and then some years later ended up back with his deal at Paramount. And this is sort of something he pushed into the past. But he, the odd thing is he had described it a few times as being the proudest moment of his career. And I thought, well, it was certainly the most impactful in a way. He really sort of worked the magic here. Yeah, it was such an odd sort of disparate group of celebrities. We had sports figures of Muhammad Ali in there. And we had actor Paul Newman, comedians Bob Hope, Carol Burnett, Hervé Villechaize. I mean, it was really an odd mix.
You know what makes something balloon from 60 seconds to a week of programming? Cocaine.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know what makes you get Hervé Villechaize and Muhammad Ali in the same room? I'm going to get a cocaine-addled mind. I'm just wondering, were there any drugs on set? It just seems like it was inevitable, or am I imagining that?
No, that was absolutely the case. And the funny thing is, I thought this, it's a kind of a fun story. It's something that hasn't been talked about much. I thought, we'll have no issue getting some of these celebrities for it. And a lot of them, all due respect, they're kind of celebrities of their time, let's say. But the only person that I approached, the only one who would comment on it, was the 70s pop star Leif Garrett, who's a terrific and very introspective guy. So he immediately saw the absurdity of it. I mean, when I said to him, I said, yeah, Evans described it as the proudest moment of his career. He said, really? He said, even with those movies, that was it? Yeah. And Leif told me flat out that, there was cocaine on the set. He was offered and he said, he did it. And there it up. If you watched him in the video, he's completely exuberant, really knocking it out of the park with his rendition of the song. So yeah, definitely helped balloon it into a week.
So James, I mean, so he does the special, you've got the cocaine, you've got Scientology, and then it just kind of goes away, right? And that's it?
That's it.
Like a coke-fueled weekend, you just think you remembered it, but you're not really sure.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so these surviving tapes are a few and far between, to say the least. But yeah, all the parts, no one wanted to talk about it. Now I get it. And especially with the Scientology element, the fact that they got their tentacles so far into this that the church had assigned each celebrity a handler that was unknown to them, a Scientologist, because one of their motivations was they wanted to get Muhammad Ali. Obviously, that went to no success, but this was sort of what they were aiming for, getting the broad Narcanon message out there in the general public, and then maybe recruiting a few celebs along the way.
James, if one wanted to watch this today, is it available on YouTube? How do we get our hands on it?
It is not available on YouTube, but I will tell you, someone did the Lord's work. Actually, I should say Cinephile did. And up at Cinephile's website, they have it in its entirety. And it is truly bizarre.
Well, James, thank you so much. Great story.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, Ashley, Bob Evans, great. But I want to talk about a story you have in this week's issue. It's all about your newish hometown, London. And I guess it's sort of, you know, everyone always says like Ashley's living the fantasy life over there, American expat. But as you report in this week's issue, London is actually a place that maybe is more attractive to expats than, or potential expats than we think it is. I'm going to bring you on the show right now to talk about it. So please, please welcome Ashley Baker.
Thank you. Well, I mean, as Americans, a lot of us have a fascination with London, right? I mean, it's very charming. It's very good looking. We share a common language. I mean, it just has a certain romance that is incredibly appealing and also a lot of shared history, right? Like, let's not forget that the United States in many ways was formed as a response to the UK. So it's not especially surprising that in this moment when living in America feels so fraught, a lot of people are thinking about alternatives and other options. And I think for many, London is looking pretty good right now. So this is a conversation I've been having a lot in my personal life with friends and others who are interested in moving here. And it felt like the right time to write about it because of the No Kings protests that had been going on in the US, which was so interesting because, you know, in many ways, the United States was founded as an antidote to that kind of society and governance. But here in the UK, our royals aren't so bad, you know, and I started to think about the contrast between the No Kings protest all over the United States and then the Trooping the Colour parade in London, which was just the day before, and that's an annual celebration of the monarch's birthday that has, you know, a military flyover and a military parade and feels so incredibly different.
Well, yeah, obviously country has so much pomp and circumstance, but what I was fascinated also as well to learn in your column this week is that we always think London is very expensive, but in fact, because of your own domestic politics over there, and it's lost a lot of extremely wealthy people, so property is a good value right now, right?
Well, strangely, I mean, and that was one of the things I didn't expect coming from New York. And you and I have talked about this, that during the pandemic, for some reason, or actually for many reasons, life in New York just became an awful lot more expensive. You know, now an Uber costs $75 if you're going from downtown to uptown. And I wasn't expecting to come to London and to think, huh, this is a bit of a value, you know, because it still is an incredibly expensive metropolis. But compared to life in New York, especially as someone who has children and, you know, you get sucked into that universe of paying for after school activities and, you know, skating lessons and whatever it may be. It's so much more affordable, I think, to live in London than it is to live in New York City. And that, some might take a controversial opinion of that, but especially looking at the real estate market here in London, because it's a strange time to live here because due to the new Labour government, a lot of tax legislation has been implemented this year that is aimed at what are called the non-doms. These are people who are living in the UK but are not domiciled here and do not pay taxes in the UK. And for decades, actually this is a centuries old policy that has made London very hospitable to foreign wealth. And especially in central London, these neighborhoods, Kensington, Chelsea, Belgravia, Notting Hill, Knightsbridge, have really been populated by very wealthy foreigners for many years. And they have sort of had their own cottage industries. You know, they frequented restaurants and went to a lot of gyms and employed housekeepers and drivers, and it became sort of its own microeconomy. And with the new Labour government's changes in tax legislation, now they've ended that non-dom tax scheme. And what that means is that people who are domiciled in the UK now have to pay UK taxes, which are quite high, on income that they earn worldwide, wherever that may be. Or you have a lot of money coming in from your various oil companies that are all over the Middle East, you would have to pay UK tax on those. And what some consider to be even more outrageous is the change to inheritance law. So 40% of your global estate. So if you own a home in California, you have to pay 40% of that to the UK government or your heirs. And it's caused this exodus of millionaires. Last year, it was 10,800 millionaires left the UK. And that's a pretty large number, considering it was only about 10,000 millionaires who had left the country from 2017, which is when Brexit happened, to 2023. So you're just seeing sort of really shifting demographics in central London. And the real estate market has been, I don't want to say depressed, but if you're an American coming over here, it's a pretty good time to buy a house or an apartment or a pied-à-terre or whatever it is, because there has not been a better value proposition for London real estate in about a decade.
Well, so then can I count on you to open up a second office for me and other people looking for second homes?
I mean, come work with me over here, guys. I'm ready. We can all sort of have a satellite airmail HQ going on at our newsstand, Shriji, which is on Chiltern Street, right across from the Chiltern Firehouse. It's a lovely little spot. They make great coffee. There's certainly worse places to work.
And certainly worse places to live.
Yeah, the quality of life is really high here. You know, it's like, despite the fact that the weather is miserable for about 6 months out of the year, and we might have to deal with Nigel Farage in some capacity coming up soon. For the most part, it's an incredibly civilized place to live. You know, the streets are swept. You don't see a lot of drug use. You know, there's not a huge homeless population. I mean, it's very well run. Londoners might argue with me on that one, but the NHS is, it's just really incredible. I know it gets a lot of flack, but the fact that, you know, like when my daughter was roller skating and she ran into a fence and we didn't know what to do. And it turns out you just go to the hospital. And within 15 minutes, you know, they had taken care of her and stitched her up and we didn't even see a bill. So it's kind of, you know, for things like that, it's quite an amazing place to live. Not to mention great restaurants, great theater, convivial people, polite taxi drivers who actually know where they're going. You know, it's just the little things, really.
It is the little things. Well, I have a feeling you're going to spark a lot of web searches this weekend from listeners of Morning Meeting looking at London real estate.
It does feel like a slightly more sane place to live at the moment, only because, you know, our lawmakers are not routinely arrested. We don't have ICE raids going on all over the country. So, you know, these incredibly alarming headlines from America really are shocking the world. And I think a lot of people are going to be responding to that.
Well, pip, pip, cheerio. We'll see you soon. Thank you, Ashley Baker.
Cheers.
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 There's only one place to discover a global snapshot of the current cultural scene. AirMail's Arts Intel Report, our international research tool for what to do and where and when to do it, is user-friendly, continuously updated, and meticulously curated. Arts Intel is handy at home, on the road, and when you're planning your next trip. It also includes indispensable lists of restaurants and hotels in key cities around the world, recommended by our well-traveled experts. Explore Arts Intel at airmail.news/arts-intel, and be sure to sign up for our weekly culture newsletter, which is published every Wednesday afternoon at airmail.news/WIC. I'm Chris Garrett, AirMail Deputy Editor, and I never leave home without it. Bon voyage.
Well, Michael, it is the weekend. I know you've got something you can recommend to us. Please do share.
You know, I'm flying blind here, having not seen it, as it is the opening weekend for it. But I'm going to go check out F1. Now, in case you don't know, this is the new film told against the backdrop of Formula One racing, starring who else? Brad Pitt plays, from what I've been told, a once promising driver who is attempting a comeback. I have no idea if this is a giant IMAX level commercial for F1 racing. I've seen the trailer, like many of you others, but I know it was kind of dogged at one point by script problems. So, but who even knows if it needs a story? Just probably lots of adrenaline. But I'm going to give anything with Brad Pitt a chance. So I'm going to go see it this weekend. It's called F1 and it's in theaters now. And Ashley, what about you, my dear?
Honestly, Michael, the world has been so crazy. I've been sequestering myself in my basement watching episodes of Clarkson's Farm. In that respect, I think I have something in common with Joe Biden.
Okay, please do explain.
Have you heard of Clarkson's Farm?
No.
Okay, so this is a ridiculous reality show. You can watch it on Prime Video. It's a big deal in the UK. I have no idea if anyone has seen it outside of the UK, maybe not. But it follows a television host named Jeremy Clarkson, who is the host of some television shows here called Top Gear, which I've never seen, and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which I also have never seen. But he has this documentary show that's called Clarkson's Farm. And it, basically what happened is in 2009, he bought a massive farm in the Cotswolds. I think it's like 1,000 acres or something like that. And his farmer quit in 2019. And Clarkson, being in his late 50s, and I suppose jonesing for a career change, decided to farm it himself. And the TV show is about the adventures that ensue. And for example, one episode is called Sheeping. And it's all about his adventures purchasing, breeding, and caring for sheep. It's completely addictive. It's so ridiculous. He's very funny and charming. And I can't even tell you how much I love this show. And everyone in my family loves it. So because the world has gotten insane, we have just dove into this wholeheartedly, and it's really an awful lot of fun. And if you want to just pretend like you live in the English countryside and have nothing to worry about except the water supply to your sheep, this is the show for you. So it's called Clarkson's Farm, and you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
I'm a worry about the water supply to my sheep. Now I'm worried.
Well, you really should be. It's a big deal. Well, on that note, we wish you all a wonderful weekend full of lots of livestock. Michael, will you please read us out?
Morning Meeting is produced by Airplay Productions and edited by Jesse Cannon. Our co-editors are Graydon Carter and Alexander Stanley. Our chief operating officer is Bill Keenan, and our deputy editors are Ashley Baker, Chris Garrett, Nathan King, Julie Vitale, and Ash Carter. Our CMO is Emily Davis, and our music supervisor is Randall Poster. The theme music is The Cute Monster by the Buddy Collette Quintet. A new edition of Airmail is published every Saturday, so please subscribe and draw watch stories on airmail.news, which we update every day. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Airmail Weekly. We will be back here next Saturday with another edition of Morning Meeting, but in the meantime, be sure to subscribe at Spotify or Apple Music. But most of all, thanks again for joining us.